Well, how special is that to be able to have a song recorded in advance like that, and not with that in intention, but nice that we're able to hear that even here today. I want to share a few words just even connecting to that song, a bit of a message here. The title you see up on the screen there, For What Earthly Reason, of course, comes from this song. And most of you, if you've been sitting here today, you realize now, if you didn't already, how important both music and the Lord were to Don. In fact, the last visit I had with Don ended with singing praises to the Lord together. He, some of his family, and I sang and played music for a good chunk of time. It was wonderful. We even have a photo to commemorate it, which wasn't expecting that we would do that, but we actually got a memory out of it in terms of a photo, and it's something that all is treasured by me. We were able to, though, sing. He was playing ukulele, and I was able to play the guitar, and Julie was playing too, and Kathy was singing, and Ricky was there, and it was just a good way to remember the things that even were very important to Don. We were able to have the Lord be the focus of the conversation, at the same time be able to do it through song, something that God ultimately gave us. And it's appropriate that we could hear him singing from heaven, if it were, today through this recording. It kind of has that feeling that he's with us even right now, being able to share his love for music and his love for the Lord as we sit here right now. And that's how I picture him. I picture him this moment praising and talking to his Savior face to face, assuming playing guitar better than ever. See, one of these songs that he loved was this one, For What Earthly Reason. And he loved this song, I'm assuming in part for the melody of it, in part for maybe the style of it, but mostly he loved it because of the lyrics. And he loved it because one of the things that Don was most interested in was telling people about Jesus Christ, the good news about how sinners could be put in a right standing with a holy God and know for certain that when they died, they would go to be with him for all of eternity. The message of how much God loves them and how he was with them and, in fact, lived inside of them the moment that they got saved, that they were never alone, that there was no sense of hopelessness ever again once one knew Jesus Christ. That was a message that he loved, and that's why he loved this song, because that's what those lyrics were focused on, the message of the gospel. And he wanted me to share the gospel with you. In a sense, it's redundant a bit, just in the sense that everything that's been said has been bits and pieces of the gospel message, verses that declare the gospel message. The truth of the Bible is not about how God hates mankind. The Bible is a message about how God loves mankind and wanted to rescue mankind, and he wanted to make a way for mankind to live life with him in the present and spend all of eternity with him in the future. Even as you think about this word gospel, the Greek word that's translated into English as gospel, it refers to a message of good news. And the message explaining God's provision to deal with man's sinfulness, all by grace, meaning all unearned, all unmerited, and how that could be accessed by faith alone in the finished work of Jesus Christ alone, and apart from any human works, any human rituals, any human merit. As you think about a message that is good news, that has to be the best news ever told. As you think about news that you could hear about eternity, like you think life is long, think of eternity. No end in sight, just a line going on forever. That's what the Bible says that we have to look forward to. We're going to all exist for eternity, but the message of the Bible is, are you going to exist for eternity in God's presence, a place that he's prepared for his children, heaven, or are you going to exist for all of eternity apart from him, separate from him, in a place he actually made for the fallen angels and Satan, the lake of fire, a place he never intended any human being to go, but God wasn't going to force his love on anyone, because love that is forced on somebody wouldn't be love. That would be a crime. Love has to be freely offered and then freely responded to for it to really be love. And so that's what we call the best news ever, the good news of the Bible, the gospel message, how sinners can be put into a right relationship again with God on the basis of accepting the free gift of salvation that is offered to them. So we think about these words. These words of this song, they explain the message of good news by addressing this question: for what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send down his Son? For what earthly reason? Why would he have done that? And the song explains why Christ's sacrifice was necessary. And you see that even with these lyrics in the chorus. I was the reason. I was the guilty. You see, the message of the gospel really has three main parts to it. One is, what is the problem that God is needing to solve, and how does God solve that problem, and then how do I get a hold of that? See, man's problem is this: for what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send down his Son? And it's been quoted already. It's on the wall of our church, John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son. Why did he have to give his Son, though? Well, the answer is right here: because I was guilty. You see, we were all born into a race of sinners. We were born identified with rebellion, with a spirit of rebellion and rejection of God and his truth. Even though God was holding out his arms wide open saying, I want to rightly relate to you. I want to live life with you. I want to have a relationship that is close and intimate with you. Yet man was born with this tendency, this mindset that rebelled against God, resisted God, rejected God. And even man eventually got to a place where man is rightfully described as God's enemies, not just dead in trespasses and sins, not just without strength, as Romans 5:6 says, not just ungodly, as the Bible declares over and over again. Not just that, but actually God's enemies, because we are openly resisting and rebelling against him and advancing the opposition against him, actually encouraging the opposition against him. And that's the state by nature that we were born. And if you don't believe that, the Bible says that in Romans 5:12, one of the verses that Don actually quoted in that video. Therefore, just as through one man, who is that Adam, sin entered the world, and death came with sin. And this is not talking about physical death, though physical death was a part of it. Death talking about spiritual death, separation from God and the relationship that he built man for, that he created man for. To destroy the very fabric of God's original design, sin got in the way of that. And then death spread to all men because all sinned. We inherit this tendency toward that rejection, but we also all sin. We're guilty sinners. And so we see that even in this lyric. I was the reason, and the reason was I was guilty. Something had to be done about that. And the Bible says, lest you be somebody sitting here today saying, that's a predicament that some are in, but it's not a predicament that I'm in. This is a predicament of all men. As you see there, that all equals everyone without exception. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, it says in Romans 3:23. But that is not in and of itself even the issue. Okay, I've sinned, I've fallen short. Why is that a problem? Here we have it again. We talked about it in Romans 5:12. Here it is in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin, or the result, the outcome of that sinfulness, is that we're separated from God. Again, spiritual separation is what that word death is referring to. That's the predicament. That's the problem that each and every person on the planet has. There's no exceptions to it. So I was the reason. For what earthly reason would the Heavenly Father send down his Son, his only begotten Son? That was the reason. That was the problem. But you see that the lyrics go on to explain, how did God provide for that problem? It's one thing to identify a problem without pointing to any solution, but God provided a solution. And you see that in these lyrics. He was the sacrifice, meaning the satisfying payment for the debt that I owed. The Bible uses a fancy word called propitiation. A satisfying payment for a debt that I owed on account of my sinfulness, my estrangement from God, my being separated from God. So how did he do that? Well, he died while I go free. And another verse that Don quoted before he started singing that song, it talks about this great exchange that was made. But it's 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it says, God made the one who did not know sin, That was Jesus, the spotless, innocent Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the spotless, sinless Lamb of God became sin for us. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, meaning the payment for sin. There was only two options. A just God could not just overlook sin. That wouldn't be justice to overlook sin. A consequence was required for a violation of a standard. And God said, this consequence of this violation is that you now are tainted by sin, and me being perfectly holy and righteous, I cannot have fellowship or a relationship with sin, and you're now tainted by that sin. So if I built you to have a relationship with me, and you're now identified with something that I can have nothing to do with, something is going to have to be done about that sin for you ever to be made right with me. Now, if you think about it in terms of eternity, if you're not made right with God, then how can you be with him? Now, where is he? In heaven. Where's the place that he is not? Well, the lake of fire, ultimately. Hell. Well, we don't want to talk about that. But yet it's a reality. And God says, I want to make it so that we can do something about this sin that's getting in the way of this intimate relationship that I want to have with you for all of eternity. Not just here in the time you have here where I will never leave you or forsake you, but for all of eternity. And so you have to have this conundrum where something has to be done. Two options are, if there's death for sin, if sin equals death in all our sinners, everyone has this problem. So what are the two choices? The two choices is for God's justice to be satisfied. One of two things is going to have to happen. Either one, I'm going to have to pay the debt that I rightfully owe because it's my debt. Now, how will I satisfy that debt? That death is the consequence of sin. If I'm a sinner, I'll satisfy that debt by having to die and remain forever separate from God. That's option one. Who likes that option? Show of hands as to who wants that option. Option number two is that somebody else was going to have to pay my debt. And if the debt that was owed was death for sin, that means somebody else would have to die in my place, and not just anyone else. Because I'm one of many people that make up humanity. So even if one person would exchange their life and die in my place to satisfy my debt for all of eternity, even if that were true, there's all of mankind to consider. And there's only one death, there's only one life that, having been given up, would have a value greater than the debt that was owed by all men, for all men's sin for all time. And that was the life of God himself, the Son of God, became man, Jesus Christ, who would die in the place of sinners like you and I. So he was the sacrifice, dying while I go free. Verse 1 says, to pay for crimes he had not done. Jesus took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. That's this exchange that took place. I became right with God, not because I was righteous, but because Christ took my unrighteousness and paid for it on Calvary. He hung on a cross with his arms spread wide, saying, I love you this much that I want to make a way for you to be made right with me. So all of our clothes of unrighteousness were placed on Jesus Christ. His clothes, his robes of righteousness were then placed on me. So God, now me covered in the work of Jesus Christ, he sees me as now right with him on the basis of what Christ has done for me. It's that simple. That's how easy this message is. Now, does that mean that everybody is going to heaven if Christ became sin for all mankind? And the answer is sadly no. Jesus offers life to all, but not everyone chooses to receive the salvation or the life that he provides. You see that in John 3:18 here. Somebody already quoted John 3:16. I did as well. And they quoted John 3:17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his son so that through him we could be saved. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, Jesus, would be saved. But this is the next verse that hardly anybody knows. Many people know this verse, John 3:16. Fewer know John 3:17. This is the key. This is the kicker right here, John 3:18. He who believes in him is not condemned. Remember, we were under condemnation because we were sinners. We were guilty. We deserved God's condemnation. We deserved to be separated from him for all of eternity. But God, in his love, paid for our sin, made it possible for us to be made right with God. How do we access that? He who believes in him is no longer condemned. The work's already been done. Now I've appropriated by faith something that's already been offered to me. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Is he condemned because he's not a good enough person? No. Is he condemned because of his sin? No, his sin was paid for on Calvary. Is he condemned because he wasn't catechized, baptized, confirmed, joining a church, giving money to church, being a good person? None of that. The condemnation comes from rejecting the only way of rescue that God has provided through the sacrifice of his dear son, Jesus Christ. So he's condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only message of salvation is that the only message of the Bible is not about making yourself acceptable to God, scrubbing the outside of your life, changing your life to somehow make it so that God would love you. He loved you when you were dead in trespasses and sins, when you were his enemy, when you were guilty. He loved you anyway. The message of the Bible is a message of hope about how God has made a way for our sin to be forgiven on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ, and how we could be born into now God's family through faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, and apart from any other human effort. It's that simple. It's supposed to be so simple that little children can come onto him, that little children can understand. I had a problem. I don't always do what's right. The consequence of that is I can't be with the one who is always right and perfectly right, but God made a way to cover that through the sacrifice of his son, who took my debt, paid for my sin. If I just accept that gift of eternal life that he offers, I can be with him now and forever. It's not complicated. It takes people to mess this up. It takes religion to make this more complicated than it is, but the choice is ultimately yours. God doesn't force this on anyone. The pardon was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, but you can refuse to accept it. You can refuse to apply that payment to your bankrupt account. You can say, I don't see that I have a need. You can go to the gate of heaven, so to speak, and you can answer this question, why should I let you in? And you can say, because I'm a pretty good guy. Because I figured out a way to improve upon your plan of rescue, God. Imagine the arrogance of that, that he says the only way you can be rescued is to accept the work that my son has already done for you. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's by grace, by grace, by grace, by grace, by grace, over and over and over. And then your response to that is, it wasn't good enough, but God, thankfully, I fixed what was lacking in your plan, and I did all these other things to carry this thing across the finish line. That's not why you should let me in. I wouldn't want to be the one telling God that his plan of rescue wasn't good enough, and that he's so lucky to have me to have fixed it for him. That's not how I would want to approach God. And that's why we see in John 3:36, it's this simple. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Not maybe has it. You have it. Whoever believes has it. You don't have to wonder about it. Like was quoted, I wrote these things to you so that you could know that you have everlasting life. Not because you're arrogant, but because you're humble. And you're saying, I contributed nothing to this. I accepted what God has already done, so I can bank on that, and I can know that I have everlasting life, because I'm not wondering, have I done enough for Jesus? I'm believing that Jesus has done enough for me. Totally different thing. But he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but what does it say? The wrath of God still abides on him. Because though the payment has been made, the payment hasn't been credited to your account. That's the issue there that we see. So what's the next lyric to this song and our last one? It's that he was the giver. He was the giver. What is the only acceptable response to this? And I've already been touching on it. But this word giver refers to this idea that it was a gift. Givers give gifts. This giver refers to Christ providing salvation as a free gift, and it's already been quoted here, but there it is on the screen. For by grace, meaning something you can't earn, work for, or merit, you have been saved, already happened. How did you get a hold of it? Through faith. You believed what God said was true. That's all faith means. To believe something is just to be persuaded to trust or accept something as true. So you've been saved through faith. It was not of yourself. Thank God. Thank God that this doesn't rest on me to save myself. Like I joke about so often, I can't even remember what I was supposed to go to the grocery store for, let alone be responsible for my eternal destiny. I can't remember even what I'm supposed to be doing today, let alone, I couldn't remember how many people were going to give some remembrances today. I mean, you saw me have two false starts here. But I'm going to be responsible for securing my own eternity? I'm so thankful that it has nothing to do with me. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. You cannot contribute anything to the salvation that Christ offers. There is nothing you can do except put your trust in what has already been done for you. Romans 4:5 says, but to him who does not work but believes on him. There you have it again. You're like, this guy's making this up. This is what the Bible says. It's religion that has added to this. This is a relationship with God that's accessed through faith. That's it. To him who does not work, but believes on him who's already done the work. That word justifies means to declare to be righteous. Believes on him who declares us to be righteous. Who does he declare to be righteous? The ungodly, you and I. Now, how did I get a hold of that? His faith is accounted to him for righteousness. It's not anything else other than, have you accepted this or not? So many people think that Christianity is about what you need to do for God. But the truth is, the good news of the gospel is that the focus is on what Christ has already done for you. I think about Don. Don is face to face with his Savior. He's face to face with his Savior right now. And you can look forward to joining him one day. But the simple question is whether you, like Don, will accept God's only solution to your predicament. Will you accept by faith what God has offered as his solution instead of trying to improve upon something that he said was complete and perfect? See, I hope you make this personal. I hope you can sing the lyrics to the song that was just played for you. For what earthly reason? And it ends with, I was the reason. I was the reason. See, you can make this about everyone else and you can say, God loved the world. Whoop-dee-doo. That doesn't benefit you directly until you can put your name in it, like was said by Maria. For God so loved Gus Lehman. For God so loved Don Sadness that he sent his only son. If you can't make it personal, then that's not faith. It's God died for your sins and he made salvation available to you, and you accept it by believing in a personal God who loves you personally and died for you personally. So that you could sing, I was the reason. I was that one earthly reason. And as it ends, that one earthly reason was me. You see, the song author didn't bother considering everyone else. They were looking at it from a very personal perspective. And I hope you will as well. We're going to have another video here. A song called, I Will Rise. And as you think about this song, I Will Rise, this is the hope of the Christian, that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me will never die. And then again, the question he asked was, do you believe this? That's the only condition. Do you believe this? If you do, then you will get to experience that resurrection.